How do birds stay up there? Is the internet black magic or white magic? Answers to these questions and more on this episode of
This Paranormal Life!
Hello!
Hey!
Welcome back to This Paranormal Life. This is the weekly comedy podcast wherein every Tuesday, me, Kit Grimm of Enna, Rory Powers is sitting across from me. We dive into a different paranormal case each week and get to the bottom of whether it's true or false, whether it's truly paranormal or not.
Hell yeah.
How are you doing today, Rory?
Pretty good. You know, we don't usually answer our intro questions.
Go on.
But how do birds stay up there? Hollow bones, I believe, is the scientific
What's
explanation
behind inside the hollow bones, though?
Nothing.
Some kind
Nothing,
of
brother.
Juice or magic or, well, see that. It doesn't really explain much then, does it, smart Alec? If you're going to come with facts, I'm going to need a bit better than that.
Well, maybe they're not even hollow. Maybe they're just less dense than human bones.
I'm not a smart enough man to truly understand this.
I feel like you're putting me under the spotlight here and I'm crumbling. I'm melting.
I need to pause and go outside and get a seagull and break its legs
to see what's inside.
I simply have to know. And I won't take Google images for an answer because I know that's a lie. I know whatever they serve me up, if I Google that, is going to be a lie.
The only reason I'd let you do that is because I know there's no way you'd be able to catch a seagull. I think you have hollow bones because of how weak and sad you are.
Yeah, the doctor has advised me to not jump and that if I get too excited, they might snap. That's right.
Yeah, he told you not to jump, not because it would break your legs, but you'd fly away. You're that hollow inside.
Right, my heart, my bones. Yeah, it is true. But Roy, I am not the subject of today's investigation. Don't try to make me, because as always, we have a big paranormal case on our hands, which we need to get into.
I'm excited. How scared should I be for today's case? Should I have a fist cocked the entire episode, just in case anything fucking jumps out? Or is this kind of like a cool, calm history of some sort of event?
It's pretty dangerous.
I'm cocking the fist!
But I would say that it is highly geolocated.
To here?
To well, here? I didn't say that yet.
I'm swinging.
I'm
sorry, dude. Once the fist is cocked, anything can trigger it, all right?
Oh.
And you freaked me out saying it was in the room, whatever this creature was.
How am I supposed to host this week's episode when I sound like this?
Your hollow skull just explodes into dust. You scream like a seagull.
The doctor said my head is a Kinder egg.
With no prize inside.
Rory, we are going to get into a pretty terrifying paranormal case right after some quick words from today's sponsors. Today, Rory, we are going somewhere we don't go quite often enough. That is
to
say...
The bathroom?
Sorry, do you need to go?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, I didn't want to bring it up, but actually I got up at the Prince Liar at 4:45 a.m. this morning.
That's crazy.
We're sitting here at a cool 3:30 p.m. right now.
I was still awake
at 4. I haven't gone to the toilet yet.
Today?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know me, I'm kind of a biohacker in many ways. I'm trying out this new hack to my bio where I don't exit my bowels. You know what I mean?
You can't fill up your bones with piss and shit by not going to the bathroom. That's not going to make you heavier.
Well, as it happens, pooping wouldn't be against the rules. Specifically, I'm talking about holding in pee.
Wait, what's
the hack? It's just a new thing I'm trying.
Oh, you're just trying not to pee as much?
My thinking is that, you know how they say humans are like 98% water or something?
That's not true. I think
what
60%?
If we were 100% water?
What if we were 100% piss?
What kind
24/7
of Aquaman level of power would that unlock? And granted, I'm in pain.
Sure.
And granted, I don't feel good. And I think in some ways, I am starting to turn yellow, like something's gone wrong. My skin is the wrong color.
There's no way this is going to be a good episode of the show if you have to go to the bathroom.
Right, because we do
time.
Need to get through it.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to bring it up, but I got about, I'd say, 13 minutes on the clock before, it's clean up on aisle me.
Okay. Well, let's push through. We'll see how far we can get.
We're in Hawaii. That's where we're going.
Hear the waterfalls cascading down
and
the gentle waves.
Don't. I think the last time we talked about Hawaii on This Paranormal Life was to investigate the Menehune.
Yes, the little people of Hawaii.
Mm.
Yeah, that was a great case. I really enjoyed that one. I don't have a lot of knowledge of the paranormal history of the beautiful islands of Hawaii. And I've also never been before, despite loving Jack Johnson. I've always wanted to go to Hawaii.
The most Hawaiian thing of all. But no, it is true. You do like surfing and acoustic music and macadamia nuts.
It's true. It's true.
But despite the beautiful exteriors of Hawaii that we all know and love, there is, like anywhere on this earth, a darker paranormal side. Now, on that investigation, I believe we mentioned something else which deserves a much deeper dive, and that's exactly what we're going to do today. Rory, how much do you know about the Night Marchers?
Oh, we did talk about them on a previous episode. Was that the episode where we introduced
the WWP? The World Wrestling Paranormal!
Oh, okay.
And I think
I forgot that.
We had been talking about... you can fucking play the clip if you want. We'd been talking about...
No time.
The
Got
little
piss,
people.
Dude.
All right.
Limited
this would be
energy
good.
And focus.
This would be good context for the people who hadn't heard that episode, because I think it was a bonus one.
Sorry, guys. Suck it up.
All right. Well, then I'll just explain it then, which will probably take twice as long for consideration.
Well, Jesus.
We talked about a bunch of different creatures slash cryptids that live on the islands. And these were one of them, the Night Marchers.
And it's time to find out whether there's more to them than just a badass name.
It is a cool name.
Our first clue about what these mysterious entities are come from Reddit, from a post by user NightRidingRN. They write, "My cousin and her boyfriend were hanging out with their friends, being cool young people out by Kena Point on Oahu. These days, the entire area is fenced off, but back then, kids could gather there to drink, smoke, and make out like teenagers do."
Hell yeah.
AKA the holy trinity of being goddamn 16.
And for some people, a lot older.
Right, well, don't out yourself this early. Some of the guys were sitting in a circle, taking it in turns beatboxing.
Not with 16-year-olds. I want to clarify. Not with 16-year-olds. With other adults.
We're not going to get...
With other consenting adults.
We're just going to assume that you're obeying all the local laws and regulations.
I am. Always have. Except... When I
don't say except, don't
except
say
when
except.
I was 16 and it was illegal.
Illegal?
Yeah, smoking, drinking, is that illegal? What did you think, sex?
I don't know, dude. You're the one who took us down this road. No one said I banged a 16-year-old other than when I was 16. Okay, this is
it was
too
fine.
Dicey.
It was fine.
This is too dicey for TV.
What am I supposed to do down at Boner Creek? All right? That's what happened.
As I say, some of the guys were sitting in a circle. These are presumably the guys who weren't getting laid, sitting in a circle, taking it in turns, beatboxing.
Hey, yo, check this out.
Nice. What about this? They were having fun, but suddenly one of the group shouted for quiet.
Yo, shut up! Shut up! Keep it down!
Jason, quit being a buzzkill.
Shh, listen. There was a faint but distinct drumming sound drifting down from the mountainside.
The teens looked up and saw a trail of flaming torches halfway down the hill above them. Terror swept through the party faster than chlamydia would if they hadn't been disturbed.
Jesus.
They hurriedly stamped out the fire, grabbed their belongings, and fled to their cars that were parked at the top of the beach.
Whoa, it feels like they know what this thing is.
This isn't their first beatboxing sex party. They could see the torches bobbing up and down, getting closer all the time. The drums were increasing in volume, and by now, they could hear the torchbearers chanting in a language they didn't understand. They piled into their vehicles and lay down. Not one of them moved a muscle. They didn't even dare open their eyes. They heard the crunching of heavy steps on shell-peppered sand. The chanting and drums were so loud they made the cars shake. They couldn't have been more than a few feet away. The procession marched past the parked cars and towards the sea, and the rhythmic sound of the beating drums faded away. The silence was broken a moment later by crying. To this day, our Reddit poster's cousin wells up if she's even reminded of this memory, and she has never turned to Kena Point after dark.
The writer of our story says she's always now extremely careful when she goes out for a sunrise run when she's camping in the region, saying, quote, "I just keep close to the shoreside and try not to look too deeply into the darkness. I'm sure they are looking from the shadows."
Damn, so it sounds like this person even understands some of the context of the arrival of these creatures, because they said they only go out now at certain times.
I do agree, although I would say that if I were having a teenage party on the beach and I heard an army marching and drumming towards me like the fucking orcs from Lord of the Rings, I would probably hedge my bet on running and fleeing and hiding in a car, whether I knew the context or not.
True. True. Yeah. I guess I just mean like, it seems like she knows that.
Right. She knows that they're coming back.
Yeah. 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 That's why she's not. And it seems to be something related more to time or place rather than the fact of they were having a teenage gangbang down at the beach.
No. Like, well, no one said gangbang. I don't know what Rory Barnes was up to at age 16.
Right. That's definitely classified information. But what I'm saying is, it sounds like these creatures aren't arriving because they're upset by the activity that these kids are doing. Because we've had other paranormal cryptids who, like, they like to go terrorize makeout points and stuff. And they, like, yeah, you know, the legends would say, oh, it's because you were having, like, premarital sex or something like that. That's why the goat man is so angry.
Yeah, have there even been that many? I know that's such a horror movie trope, but yeah, has that come up in cryptid cases?
I think quite a few. I think the donkey lady didn't like it either. If you're having sex on the bridge.
I guess it's a sin or whatever, technically, in the Bible.
Whereas these night marchers seem like they just show up at certain times of the day or night, whether you're getting some or not.
I agree. I think this is purely circumstantial. I think the point is that adults who are not 16 or trying to get some are not usually hanging out this late at night in kind of natural settings.
Good point.
Rory, what the hell are you doing in that situation?
Pre-night marchers or after they've arrived?
What are you doing? Are you running for the hills like this? Are you standing like a statue pretending to be a mannequin?
I don't know. I guess if I had any prior knowledge of what this thing is, I probably would have tried to find out what it is.
Yeah, I guess if it were you specifically, you might get down your hands and knees and say, I'm just a dumb tourist. I don't know what's happening.
Is this a thing that happens when the moon rises to a certain point? People like to go out and march with drums and torches. I don't know. I'd be very confused.
Well, hopefully, Rory, the small amount of listeners that we do have listening from Hawaii, they will already know. They will be already very well versed in what to do. But for the rest of our listeners, we will hopefully be able to inform ourselves and them throughout the course of this episode, because we didn't talk that much about the Night Marchers previously. So we're going to tell you everything you need to know about them. Now, in the Hawaiian language, they're called, and I apologize, there are a number of Hawaiian pronunciations throughout this episode. I didn't have a Hawaiian language contact for this one, so apologies for my pronunciations in advance. But they are called Huaka Ipo. That name translates to spirit ranks. Some call them death-dealing ghosts. Ooh. They're the spirits of ancient warriors that dedicated their mortal lives to serving their leader and continue to do so long after their death.
That's dedication.
Many years ago, Hawaii used to operate on what is called a caste system. Now, this is just like a rigid class divide, like in India historically, or many other countries around the world. At the bottom of society were servants and social outcasts. Then above that, farmers and fishermen. Above that were professionals like priests, master carpenters, boat builders, dancers, and healers.
The dancers are pretty high. Damn.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're going to need dancers in your society to have a good time.
Above farmers? I don't know. Who placed these ranks? A couple of fucking dancers by the sounds of it.
Whilst we don't technically have a caste system in, let's say, modern Britain where we sit today, Rory, we do have something of a class system. I do like to imagine that podcasters might have been quite high up on that list.
Very high. Very high.
Not so much that we are needed for anything, but just people might think we're dope.
Yeah, we'd be a little above Prime Minister for sure. But I think most people would be at this point.
The top tier were the Ali'i. and these were the chiefs of the realm. They were the people in power and governed those below them. When they traveled from town to town, they would be escorted by a team of guards willing to lay down their lives. When a chief passed through a village, his warriors blew conch shells and beat drums to announce his arrival. Priests, farmers, and servants alike were expected to stare at the ground to never, ever, ever make eye contact. The punishment for looking the chief in the eye was death.
I hate that. That would drive me crazy. I'd want to look at him twice as hard.
Well, just in that kind of way of like when you're standing on a cliff edge, a little part of your brain is like, just jump. What would it be like, though, if you just jumped?
Just have a little jump, yeah. No, well, this is out of anger. I don't like being told what to do.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't last in ancient Hawaii, that's for sure.
But I also don't like being told anyone is better inherently than anyone else. That is a Roy Powers golden rule of life. I don't care if you popped out of a golden vagina and someone else was born in a mud puddle. You can look each other in the eyes. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is me, noose around my neck at the gallows. And another thing, food should be free. We should all have burgers for
breakfast.
Release
the trap doll.
This shit would fire me up. I would hit him. I'd punch him probably.
But isn't it crazy how much we still live with this stuff to this day? I mean, we're not going to get into it, but I mean, right here in Britain, the royal family.
Drives me nuts. Drives me crazy.
All right, we're not going to go there.
Don't fire me up, brother.
I seem to remember that we dumped a whole load of tea in Boston or some shit to get away from all this.
It's like, you moved back here. You could have stayed in the Republic. The Ali'i were so highly revered that they were seen as representatives of the gods themselves. They were believed to have divine power, which is why brave soldiers would volunteer to be their protectors. These are the same warriors believed to be upholding these duties beyond the grave as night marchers.
Ooh, damn. All right, you didn't tell me these guys had powers. All right, that kind of changes things because, what, can they fly or shit? What are they doing?
What, are you changing your attitude?
I'm looking down for sure if this guy's got laser vision.
I don't know that we've actually ever come across such a thing on this paranormal life. I mean, in general, in this world, generally, if you don't retire from your job before you die, your death is essentially handing in your resignation. But what we're seeing here is people who serve during life and then never stop.
I mean, I don't think that's that crazy from stuff we've investigated before. I feel like there's a lot of cases where, you know, a railway worker was killed by a train and now his ghost is seen in uniform with a lantern.
This person up and down the rails still shoveling coal.
Yeah, I think that's quite a common thing, you know, when spirits who have suffered some sort of traumatic event in life, if it's to do with their career and their job, that's actually quite common as you see them continuing to do that. It's the same in Gettysburg. People say they can see the ghosts of Confederate soldiers still fighting out in the fields. This is kind of a similar vibe.
So true, Rory. Or like when we heard about, wasn't it like Lincoln or something? Like his ghost is still riding that funeral train to this very day.
That's true, yeah.
Just doing the last thing you were doing over and over, which is a good thing. Neither me or Rory died age 16, playing Smash Bros and jerking off. Not together, but probably separately.
That's a good way to go, to be fair.
It's said that after the sun sets, the night marchers will carry torches and march down the mountainside. Usually, you will hear them by the sounds of the conch shell, loud drumming, and traditional chants. Sometimes the night marchers travel with an ancient Hawaiian god or goddess rather than a human chief.
Whoa!
So you're going to want to look down, bud.
Yeah, I will.
That's not a fight you can win.
That's badass.
They walk continuously until the moment right before sunrise before disappearing. But before y'all start to feel safe, night marchers can also appear during the day.
Okay, great.
It's said that if they need to escort a dying relative or something to the spirit world, they will appear during the day.
I thought this was kind of cool. Allegedly, the behavior of the Night Marchers depends on who they're escorting. So, like, if they're escorting a chief that loved music, they would be treated to some singing and enthusiastic drumming.
Wow.
But a royalty that liked it quiet, they'd be given the 5-star Uber, not a word spoken ride.
That's pretty cool. So, in theory, you want to be running into the Night Marchers who are escorting some sort of party god. Some sort of Hawaiian Van Wilder.
Right, some sort of god that loves Jaeger bombs.
Yeah.
And,
not,
and techno.
Not some sort of warlord who passed away, who hated the living. You don't want that.
Some warlord who stops the marching right beside Rory's shivering ass and is like, I know he's looking down anyway, but let's just smoke him. He's like, no! Oh! I'm feeling bloodthirsty.
Smoke him. They just kick me.
But like any self-respecting Uber driver, these guys have got a baseball bat in the boot, so don't anger them. The list of things you can do to anger the Night Marchers is fairly short. It's basically don't look at them and don't get in their way.
That's fair and safe.
You see, the old beliefs say that certain body parts of different chiefs were sacred and must never be seen by mortals. And if a mortal did catch an accidental glimpse, bolts of intense light beam out from the eyes of the warriors. The victim is incinerated instantly and their body turns to a gas.
Can I get a shred of evidence? Can I get even another testimony?
I realize that there's a lot of backstory.
There's a lot.
To have to get through for you to truly understand their might. While I'm going to keep you hanging for just a little bit longer to get evidence, I am going to whet that appetite with some artistic depictions of what at least you're looking for out there.
Okay.
Feast your eyes on this, Rory.
Whoa, that is badass. This is exactly what you would imagine, guys. A ferocious, glowing-eyed army of ghost soldiers.
Of ghost hunks, I'll be honest.
They are beefcakes.
Long hair, jacked, rippling abs. Granted, the eyes are gleaming in the dark, but all I'm saying is these guys are in shape and you know they can surf.
Oh, yeah. I'm basically looking at what would happen if all of the Hemsworth brothers died. These would be their sexy ghosts.
An army of beautiful bastards. But you do kind of get the picture, right? I mean, okay, this particular image I'm showing Rory is somewhat cartoon-like. It's a little bit like, you know, what they might look like in the Scooby-Doo universe.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get the gist. This is a ghost army, you know, which is not even a completely unique to Hawaii idea in itself. The idea of a ghost army, the idea of soldiers marching through just exactly the way they were in life. I guess because so many soldiers die in battle, right? So that's the last thing they were doing.
They make it pretty hard to not look at them. I know that's like a golden rule, but they're lit up like a fucking glow stick, chanting and screaming and waving spears in the air. It seems weird to be like partying and marching in the night, like causing all this ruckus. And then someone's like, oh, I wonder what's going over here. And they're like, don't look at us. Like, what do you mean don't look? You're marching. That's part of marching, is it's like a public thing, unless you're marching to war. You're doing it like publicly as like a ceremonious act.
Yeah, not to draw the comparisons again, but again, a royalty in this country or any country, it was kind of a similar vibe, right?
It's performative. Like,
even though we're wearing gold and wearing more jewels than you've ever seen in your life before on my pinky ring, don't look.
Yeah, bow, motherfucker.
Yeah,
look
bow.
At your dirty little feet. I am a god. That seems kind of crazy. If anything, you think they would be like wearing hoods like monks and kind of like slinking through the trees rather than causing all this ruckus. But I guess if they're like, maybe they got bored because not enough people were looking. So now they're like really trying to tempt people. They're like glowing extra bright and saying like, hey, we got free beers over here. If I don't want one.
Right.
Trying to tempt people.
They're like the goddamn guards from Squid Game. They're like fucking with people. Oh, you solved the cookie puzzle? I'm going to snap the cookie anyway.
Who are they going to believe?
But I suppose getting back to the raison d'etre of these Night Marchers. You know, I'll give them credit. The whole purpose is that they are protecting whoever they're escorting. So
love that.
I guess it's the whole thing is like, we're chanting and marching to tell you to get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah.
Run as fast as you can.
Kind of like the Queen's Guard.
Yeah, I remember seeing a video of a little kid getting trampled by the,
he got
by the Queen's Guards.
Yeah.
He got absolutely taken out. And the parents are just like, come on, come on. And it's like, you know, I don't even know who to be mad at. It's like, I mean, you did, like, your kid was basically like poking a soldier in the head to annoy him.
You can't do that in Iraq.
Right.
So it's really not supposed to be much
different.
I know
these soldiers look silly.
Yeah.
But they're not silly billies.
I mean, I get it as well when it's a tourist who's like fake putting their arm around one of the Queen's Guards. It was a fucking kid, man. It was a kid. You know what? Like, even if he was bugging you, it's a child. Like, you didn't need to stomp on him.
They did stomp him out. They really did stomp out that little kid. That was great. I'm sure no one agrees with me, but come on. It's entertainment. We need, you know, there's not much to laugh about in this country, Roy. We all need something to laugh at every once in a while. Sometimes that's a little Italian kid getting stomped out. Okay, Roy. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're vibing with the images I'm showing you, even if they're, to be clear, not evidence yet. To understand this further, like you say, we do need to hear about another sighting. Thankfully, there are many more sightings from modern times to look into.
Hell yeah.
Which we're going to get into right after a quick break.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Kit, as humans, we have to deal with a lot day to day. Sometimes you can feel like your social battery is drained.
Not just my social battery, my regular battery.
Why do you have a regular battery?
I'm not a robot or anything. I'm definitely human.
Right. And as humans, it's important that we understand ourselves so that we can build a social life that works for us.
Yes. I love sharing human memories with my human friends.
So the way you're speaking makes me think that you definitely are a robot.
I'm not. I love all human things. Food, oil.
Okay, so the second thing was already weird.
Huh?
Kit might be a robot, but humans aren't. We need to look after ourselves, and one way to do that is through therapy. With BetterHelp, you can get matched with a licensed therapist that suits your needs. It's online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
I live for thousands of years, so
okay,
my schedule is very flexible.
Fantastic. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/paranormallife today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/paranormallife.
Affirmative.
Okay, Rory. Here's another sighting from that same Reddit thread we talked about in the beginning. User, wash your clothes, heard the next story from one of his teachers. He writes, when my teacher was younger, he and his friends were on the Big Island on some kind of Boy Scout type trip. He had spent the whole day hiking down from the mountain and trekking across the lava field. They set up camp, and when it was getting dark, that's when they saw the torches far in the distance, where they had been earlier in the day. They figured it must be fishermen or something, but they kept watching the lights traveling towards them. The lights were on the same path the boys had walked that day, and somehow managed to cover a great distance in 10 minutes that took the kids hours that afternoon.
A ghostly distance.
Their stomachs churned and their hearts sank.
That was when they realized what they were seeing. Night Marchers. Their trip leader quickly took charge. Boys, get in your sleeping bags and zip them all the way to the top. Keep your eyes closed tight and think humble thoughts.
Is that something he added in? Humble thoughts? I haven't heard that one yet.
You can't even not look at them.
Yeah.
You can't even think about them.
That's pushing
Which
it.
Is bad for you because you've got clearly a problem with authority.
I do.
And even if you're looking down in your head,
I'm
you're like, piece of shit, son of a bitch.
They're like, one of those sleeping bags is thinking some nasty shit. That's crazy. These motherfuckers are like the Ark of the Covenant in Indiana Jones, where you just can't even look at it
right.
if they're coming by, or else they're going to melt your face like they did to all the Nazis.
This is powerful magic, I'll tell you that much.
Except these guys don't even care who's a Nazi and who isn't. You can be kind of a nice person and still look at them, and they will smoke your ass.
I mean, this story isn't over yet, but I thought it's fascinating at this point, again, how prepared this teacher is.
Like, yeah.
I'll be honest, reading this, in my mind, as a teacher, I'm trying to weigh up the likelihood that these kids get smoked by night marchers against the likelihood that the kids go back to school and tell all the parents, our teacher was pretty fucking weird last night and made us do some weird shit and zip ourselves into our sleeping bags and said to think humble thoughts. Like, they're going to think I'm crazy.
Yeah. What's the worst thing? All the children die or you're an assumed pedo.
But he doesn't miss a beat. He's like, we have seconds to
That's
survive.
That's a good scout
here.
Leader right there. And it makes sense. You know, scout leaders, famously resourceful, good decision makers.
In this next line, he starts handing out suicide pills.
Okay.
Bite down, children. Bite down, lest they get you. Because there's no way Timmy over there is able to think humble thoughts. He's a little shit, and he's got a problem.
I saw the way he handled those knots. You're a horny little bastard.
Needless to say, the kids did as they were told, and the young teacher's whole body was coursing with fear. As the sounds got louder, he was overwhelmed by dread, and his body suddenly felt like it was being crushed. The pain and pressure were so intense that he lost consciousness. He woke up later on, still sore and now soaked in his own piss.
What?
This guy isn't cut out for teaching.
No.
Not even Boy Scouts.
You shouldn't. Well, to be fair, when you sign up to be a scout leader, they don't warn you about the night marchers. That's not something that you have to have a qualification for. It's like, yeah, I've got my first aid training. I have experience working with kids before. I taught at a summer camp. It's like, oh, it's very impressive. And what about the night marchers? How would you handle beings from another realm?
You got that badge, you son of a bitch? No. You gonna piss yourself, you little pissy boy? Little pissy pants boy?
You shouldn't have to learn how to deal with ghosts from beyond the grave to be a scout leader. Maybe a what do you call a graveyard man? A gravekeeper? Not skeleton, but that's a real word for it. Crypt keeper? Is that it?
No.
No, that's a skeleton again. Bone master. Is that it? Tomb lord?
There's a grave goblin digger.
If you're like the maintenance man, you know? Like the cleaner of the graveyard.
Gravekeeper, I think.
Gravekeeper. I think that's what I'm thinking of. If you're a gravekeeper, sure. I'm sure part of your CV has to involve the qualifications you have to deal with ghosts and lost souls. But a scout leader? No.
But in Hawaii, apparently, our Reddit poster goes on to add, I'm not much of a believer in the supernatural, but there was no doubt that my teacher had experienced something. He was very serious. Wasn't the kind of guy to exaggerate or joke around. I also heard a story from a different teacher who said that he witnessed some kind of night marcher party going on at a castle hall in Punahou School. He said sometime late at night when no one was around, it was like tons of loud banging, windows and doors opening and shutting, lights flickering, and then all of a sudden, it stopped suddenly.
Damn.
Granted, he says this guy was more the type known to make up ghost stories and such. He would tell us a lot of creepy stories. But again, getting such a picture that like
lots of people have tales of the Night Marchers, know what the Night Marchers are, and are pretty much shit scared of them.
Yeah. I mean, this is obviously something that's been handed down throughout the generations, because it seems like even people who haven't seen them before, still when they hear the drums and see the lights, they know what to do, basically.
Which is cool. You know, whenever we try to draw on our own culture to try and relate to these kind of cultural stories, you know, we'll talk about things like in Ireland, you have the Banshee and stuff.
But, the Doolahan, leprechauns.
But if you were out at night, or any Irish person was out at night, I don't think any amount of hearing a scream in the distance is going to make them bolt to their car, lock the doors, lie down, shivering, pissing yourself in fear.
Yeah.
Like, it shows how real this is to some people.
All of our stuff is like kind of playful and silly, like little leprechauns right. that'll take your shoes or something.
Yeah, I seem to remember there was something about a guy at the pub trapping the devil in his pocket.
Yeah, silly little legends like that. The Night Marchers don't fuck around. Right. Does not seem like you want to mess with them.
One of them had laser vision to incinerate people. So I think we now understand what they are. We've heard some of the eyewitness testimonies of what it's like to see one of these things. What is the paranormal explanation for what's going on here? Obviously, these guys are warriors. They've passed from this world, and their restless souls, I guess, are trying to keep their claim to the ancestral land. They definitely have a problem with people being on their land and not respecting it. That's yeah. for sure. Maybe they're out to avenge their own deaths. Now, some people think they're marching to find an entrance to the next world so that they can finally enter the afterlife.
They haven't gone that far. If they're looking for the entrance to the afterlife.
Right, they're just checking the same mountain.
Yeah, they're like, maybe it's the other island. It's like, it could be on another planet. We don't know. I thought we kind of knew what their purpose was. I thought they were escorting the dead, right? Or is that just a theory?
Well, that was their purpose in life. And so I guess it's, are they still doing that just after the fact in death? Or are they trying to get somewhere else? Are they trying to break out of this cycle?
Can you imagine dying and then the Night Marchers show up and it's like, oh, are you here to lead me to the afterlife? And they're like, brother, you're here. It's here. We don't know where the fuck to go. We just keep finding you guys and adding you to the army.
Craig's been doing this for 25 years. And honestly, I'm starting to think I'm going to be here as long as he is.
There was like four of us when I showed up. Now there's a Night Marcher army. We keep hoping one of you guys who was alive knows where we should be going. Are you here to take me to the place of eternal rest? Just take the fucking drum, man. Just take the drum. We're going to the next island. Maybe there's some over there.
Yeah, man. We're going to the place of eternal rest. I don't fucking know.
We're just going to go up to the mountain. We think there's some kids banging up there. We're going to go freak them out.
But within all the speculation, what is agreed upon is how to deal with a Night Marcher. And you know, on this Paranormal Life, we love to give our listeners practical advice, often on how to survive the paranormal. So let's do it.
All right.
There is only one way to survive. You run, you hide, you hit the deck, and you close your eyes.
Okay. So the scout leader was kind of hitting a lot of the right notes.
But maybe the better way to think about this is, what are the telltale signs that you are about to encounter the Night Marchers? Mm. What are the ways that you can avoid ever coming into that circumstance?
Yes, that's a good point, because if you can avoid the situation altogether, then if I was that scout leader, I wouldn't even need to pick up one of the children and throw them into the crowd. I could avoid that situation entirely.
And look, no one's victim blaming here. We're not going to tell any teens they can't have beatboxing makeout sessions, but we just need to do that safely.
Yeah.
All right. The number one warning sign that you are in danger of Night Marchers, You are in Hawaii. Because if you're not in Hawaii, I'll be honest, there's not a big amount of worry here. But there are other signs. Allegedly, what goes along with these sightings are things like a heavy wind, lightning and thunder, heavy rain, a big swell of surf, rows of spirits carrying torches.
All right, well, that's a giveaway, yeah.
Chanting and drum beating, potentially accompanying mist or fog coming out of nowhere. And this one is very weird. A kind of
foul and musky, death-like stench.
I love that so many of these subtle hints as to the appearance of the Night Marchers. Some of them were just seeing the Night Marchers. You're like, here's a hint, they might be nearby. You see them. You see the torches. It's like, okay, there's not much I can do in that situation. That's not really a hint of what's to come. That's what's come.
A subtle hint would be seeing a 12th century chief guarded by 12-foot warriors.
It's such a bad way to give advice or to warn people. It's like, here's one way to tell if they're nearby. I don't know. Can you see one? Is he pinning you to the ground with a spear? Like, are you helping me or being mean to me? I don't understand.
But there are also cues about even what time of the month that you might see them. It's said that ancient spirits are thought to be most active on the 14th night of the new moon, and also near sacred sites such as temples, or caves, areas that are once visited by the Ali'i. That's pretty interesting that they come on, it sounds like, bang in the middle of the lunar cycle.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty believable.
So there is some kind of way at least to forecast their arrival.
If this didn't feel paranormal already, that does.
When the moon's getting involved, hell yeah. The moon is the sun's paranormal brother.
Now, unfortunately, one of these last tips for avoiding the wrath of the Night Marchers largely comes down to the lottery of life, because it turns out who you are determines how you get treated. It's said that if they come across you and basically they don't like the look of you, they're going to shout the Hawaiian for "let him be pierced."
Jesus.
And they will, as we say, smoke you. But if you're one of their descendants, they will cry out something to the effect of "mine," claiming you as one of their kin, and the whole army will pass you by, leaving you unscathed.
Okay.
Not to bring up the banshee again, but I always find it kind of interesting when there's like an ancestral angle to a paranormal entity or a cryptid or something. I know with the banshee, the original idea was that the banshee only screamed when one of the great families of Ireland died. I think famously there's like five families or something. It's like, you know, names like the O'Neills, the O'Briens, the O'Connors. And you kind of have a not completely dissimilar concept here, where these paranormal entities respect the ancestry and the history.
Yeah. Yeah. For better or for worse, I guess. All I know is I'm getting speared. And I'm worried that ghost spears feel a lot like human spears.
That is the problem, because, you know, all of Hawaii has a bit of a problem with tourism and getting overrun by tourists.
Yeah.
So you know this rip curls short wearing flip flop wearing Oakley sunglass pasty motherfucker is getting speared by the Night Marchers.
They'll go out of their way. They'll go off the path to spear us, dude. Like with all these,
they'll
like,
come into the airport. They'll get me before I even set foot on the motherland. I walk up to an ancient warrior. I'm like, you know where I can get some soft serve around here?
We look like ugly Twilight vampires. Ice white, thin boned, fragile little like Victorian children. That's what we look like. So they'd be able to spot us from a mile off.
And as I say, you know, you might be getting the picture that lots of people have seen the Night Marchers, and they really have. There is so many official sightings of Night Marchers. There's a 100-year-old school on Oahu that claims to have regular visitations. There's a ranch on the same island that was built atop the graves of hundreds of high-ranking ancestors, and the Night Marchers appear so frequently that there are frequent car accidents on the nearest road.
Wow.
At La Perouse Bay in South Maui, the marchers roam across the solidified lava landscape. The town of Kauna Kakai on Molokai is rumored to be a Night Marcher hotspot, as it's home to the remains of a sacred temple site. But despite how old the sightings are, we kind of have an interesting problem. Again, not that dissimilar to the Irish legends, that Hawaiian is, of course, originally an oral language. So there aren't any written records
until the 1800s. And granted, there are some then, such as in 1883, but before that, it's all oral tradition and legend.
I guess if the legend involves ancient ghosts, the story can't be that ancient because the people wouldn't be ghosts yet.
Yeah.
That's like saying there's not many stories about Victorian children ghosts from the Victorian times. It's like the children were alive. They were alive and fine. They were probably telling stories about, I don't know, medieval peasant ghosts.
Yeah, I mean, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Like, at least with, like you say, Victorian ghosts in England, we can be like, all right, I know when that motherfucker died because he's wearing a pocket watch. So it's a pretty narrow,
it's a narrow window, yeah.
It would be interesting to know when... Yeah, these night marchers come from, but it could be probably quite a long time through history.
I mean, based on their weapons, yeah, it's looking pretty prehistoric.
Rory, you and I both know that what we need right now is some physical evidence to take this MFing story home to prove that the night marchers are real once and for all.
Absolutely. And I think that's why we have no other choice but to go to Hawaii ourselves.
All expenses on the This Paranormal Life company card, of course.
Tour all the islands. I'm sure we have some fans out there. Be cool to just like hang out with them, eat their food.
I think Jack Johnson's on tour too, so we could probably catch a show.
That would be great, yeah. And the night marchers. The night marchers as well.
Right, of course.
We'll like... just go hook up in the woods.
Not
with each other, necessarily. We'll see what happens. I don't know. Maybe the island vibes will create some sort of magical feelings of love. Who knows?
No.
Who knows? Anything can happen. Anything's possible. And
focusing,
we can investigate,
on a weird amount.
You know, investigate each other, our emotions, our feelings,
all right, we're getting
our bodies.
Off track.
But then also, the night marchers.
I have a video to show you.
So you're going to be like, I have a wife. You should know that now I have a wife. Oh,
you should know that already also.
A video, even better, of you or... the marchers.
I was encouraged, nay surprised, nay overjoyed to find that one place on the internet where people have been talking about night marchers is TikTok.
Really? Wow, that's a strange place.
There is a video floating around TikTok supposedly showing a woman walking through a forest and she catches a night marcher on camera. Rory, here's the TikTok in question.
All right.
Cassie Smith was hiking in Oahu, Hawaii when she captured
this. It's so fast.
She believes it to be a night marcher. Her phone also was able to catch this photo. Is this real or fake?
Okay. Okay. The video...
Is this real or fake, Rory? It's a yes or no question.
The video shows like kind of a blurry thing moving in the bushes. They're like, hey, she managed to capture this on video. Yeah, it's kind of like a ghostly apparition fading in between the branches.
Sure.
It looks pretty weird. Don't really know what's going on there. Then it goes, she also managed to capture this picture. It's just a fucking... like full man
ancient being.
Like it not even transparent or translucent, a solid being made of matter standing in the woods looking directly at the camera.
I will say it does look a bit different to the video stills that we saw.
It looks completely different. They just shot look at that.
I will say it's pretty creepy.
Yeah, no, it is terrifying. I'm not gonna say it's not terrifying, but that is straight up not paranormal. That is a physical being. That exists in our world.
We don't know that.
Oh, I do. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, don't feel like I won Rory over immediately with that. But I will say, you know, going through other Night Marcher topic videos on TikTok, it was quite encouraging to read the comments. You know, we don't always have like super up-to-date conversations happening about all these beings or cryptids.
Yeah.
So it's quite refreshing to go through comment sections and, you know, on another popular video about night marchers, we have people just putting in their two cents. You know, one guy says, I've lived on Kauai all my life, and whenever I was told about night marchers as a kid, it scared me every time I went camping. Another one, Morgan Parsons, says, I used to live on Oahu when I was young, and my school took a trip to the Big Island, and I swear we heard them during the night. Another person, Giovanna, said, I used to live in Hawaii and I've experienced night marchers, I swear on my life. There's a lot of people in there saying that they have either heard them or seen them or whatever.
Fair play.
And yet, at the end of every episode of This Paranormal Life, Rory, we do have to decide whether our case is truly paranormal or not. So on the case of the Hawaiian night marchers, where's your head at?
You know, I really like this story. Usually when we investigate ghost stories, there's a bit of a struggle that we have to explain why they're still here, what their motivation is, what their history and lore is. But for these guys, it's pretty clear cut. I mean, they had a purpose in life. They kind of seem to have a purpose in death. And they just seem to be doing that kind of sporadically. Not sure why they're so easily agitated. I mean, why are you so concerned with the world of the living if you are a ghost soldier? Shouldn't you be fighting other ghosts, maybe? I'm not sure.
But again, this is you with a noose around your neck.
Have you ever thought about that, guys? Six ghosts pierced to my throat, yeah. Honestly, I think you guys are your fights with yourselves. So, yeah, the only problem is even though we have this cool history and this cool explanation behind them, we're just lacking that evidence, which is always something we're going to come up against with ghost
any
cases.
Ghost. God damn it. It's always a problem.
Because that's the whole point. You can't see them. You can't touch them. They don't leave footprints behind. You know, our UFO and our cryptid cases usually has a bit more hardcore evidence. But for ghost cases, it's a tricky one.
It really is, Rory. We have had kind of next to none, you know. I will say there are a handful of people out there who claim to have seen footprints, you know, after the fact. Or maybe they heard them when they were camping and then they went out and they looked and they saw tons of footprints. But
yeah,
nothing so compelling, nothing that I have photos of to show you. Certainly, it seems for something so well known, it is fairly thin on the ground. And maybe this does wade into that territory of kind of some of those more ancient North American legends and beliefs where, you know, even the believers don't even know if you can get a piece of physical evidence.
Yeah.
You know?
We just got to go, man. We just got to go. Check it out ourselves.
Couple days surfing in Maui, of course.
Yeah, just to take
maybe the
edge
maybe stay at
off.
The Four Seasons. I've heard that's quite close to a hot spot.
Really? The Night Marchers are frequent at the Four Seasons?
I've heard in the spa. I've heard that.
Okay. I think it's probably worth, yeah,
a little more investigation.
Get our hands dirty. Well, quite clean, actually. I assume
quite
the spa
clean,
is
actually.
Pretty
sparkling.
Intensive.
Sparkling clean.
I'm down. Until then, no. It is a no.
We land and our local listeners murder us for being such ignorant assholes.
We're like, the Night Marchers. No, we're humans and we just don't like you.
We're just vigilantes. Rory, I think we are avoiding the inevitable here. I think we probably don't have enough evidence to go down on a yes today.
It's a no. It's a no from me, unfortunately.
No,
rats!
But I would love to hear from our Hawaiian listeners. If you have any input of your own, whether you have heard or seen of them or have any physical evidence of your own, or maybe you have some travel tips of where you can show us to explore when we inevitably do go for a... Let's just ramp it up to 6 months. I think we could do a cool 6 months there.
Are you a scout leader? Are you a scout leader that will take two brave boys on an adventure?
We need some badges, namely the spa badge and the surfing badge.
I would say these guys right up there with probably some of the cooler poltergeists / ghosts we've ever dealt with before. A ghost army with spears that like to party? That's hardcore. I can get on board with that.
Couldn't agree more. Well, guys, I hope you still enjoyed this investigation into the Hawaiian Night Marchers, despite it being a double no. You know, we did mention our other most recent case into a Hawaiian piece of lore, and that was the investigation into the Mene Hune. I'm just looking at it here. It was bonus episode 45.
Woo!
Tell the good listeners where they can find that, Rory.
Patreon.com/thisparanormallife. And I hosted it, so you know it's going to be a good one.
Oh, well, that's quite enough. Rory, I could sit here and tell you all about Patreon.com and the bonus episodes and how you should listen to them, but why don't I just play you a little clip from that bonus episode?
In one story, their payment for the job was one shrimp each, which I think is pretty affordable.
Is that on the script you just read?
Yeah, that's genuinely what? Part of one of the stories.
I thought that was a joke.
You just know before the hand in the meeting, they were like, all right, the humans really need our help here. So we're not going to like lowball them. We're going to play hard to get here. We need to go for some big numbers and get it. They turn around, one shrimp each. The humans are like, yes, fine.
We reluctantly accept.
The humans have like trucks of shrimp and they're like, yes, of course. Get the trucks out. They only want one each. Get out of there. I guess to one of these little guys, a single shrimp is like a f-ing great white.
Yes.
You could feast for, well, not that long, I guess. It's still
I mean, they're still 3 foot tall, which is only half the size of a human.
I guess if you, how long would it take you? Just,
like, they need a Happy Meal instead of a Quarter Pounder meal with fries.
It's still a meal.
Still a decent sized meal.
they can't just survive off a nugget. How long would it take you to eat a shrimp the size of half your body?
That's a disturbing, disturbing image.
Wouldn't you die? Wouldn't you get like magnesium poisoning? Like with sushi?
You mean like mercury poisoning?
Mercury poisoning.
Maybe. I think it depends. I think it depends though, like how polluted your waters are.
Right.
And in the crystal clear waters of Hawaii that we will be enjoying soon, Rory, there's not a dash of mercury.
Okay. That's good to know.
I don't know that for sure.
Just for those guys as well, as I said, our fans out in Hawaii who are thinking about letting us stay in your spare room, a shrimp a day, does that seem like fair payment for us crashing there for like a couple of months or whatever? Like, let's not put a date on it because that is like, makes me claustrophobic to feel like you want me out. So I'll keep giving you shrimp and we'll just whatever, call it even, I guess.
Yeah. So we could like sublet someone's like apartment for like, you think a shrimp a day might cut it?
I think a shrimp a day is fine. That's more than enough, right? Who needs more than one shrimp a day? I don't want to poison these guys with mercury, magnesium.
We're going to be like the Mene Hune soon. Like our listeners will just see us foraging in the forest, ass naked, running away when humans come near us.
Podcasting for a shrimp a day.
We do have fun.
What a great episode.
And we will continue to make episodes set in Hawaii until we get to go there. Patreon.com/thisparanormallife for all the This Paranormal Life bonus content you could dream of.
Can you get something else there, Kit?
You can get f***ing shitloads, Rory. You can get weekly after parties, monthly bonus episodes, monthly raffles only for patrons.
A coin? A literal gold and silver coin? We're not taking the
piss. Only for Knights of the Commune. That's
it's insanely cool. I love that coin.
Insanely cool. Limited edition $50 reward over on Patreon.com. And at the end of episodes, we do like to give a shout out to people who are pledging on $20 and higher on Patreon who get a shout out right here on the show. Let's jump into it.
Special thank you to Lily Marion.
Lily, are you the Marion type? Are you looking to settle down with a, let's face it, below average individual with some self-esteem issues for sure?
Dude, don't be hard on yourself, you know?
Buck teeth, chubby waisted.
Yeah, man, you're just being cruel.
Ugly inside and out.
Man, where is this coming from?
Because Kit's looking for a wife.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Oh, that's right. Or you could date an absolute fucking hunk 10 superstar like me.
Thanks also to Alien Dreamcatcher.
Alien Dreamcatcher? That is exactly what we need. Because these little greys, I don't know what they're dreaming about, but we need to be one step ahead of them.
And if we can see their dreams, we can see their nightmares, which would be very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks also to Taylor Power. Taylor Power? I love that band. Isn't that that cool Australian rock guys?
No, that's Tame Impala.
No, fuck. Taylor, can you hold a guitar or a synth at least?
I think she has the power to do it.
Ayo. Thanks also to Jack Lazarus.
If it isn't got your back, Jack. He's the guy who's always got your back. But not in like a friendly way or like a brotherly way.
Sure.
He's always got a dagger in your back.
Whoa!
Any opportunity to betray you, Jack is ready to go. He's always got your back on his mind.
I kind of respect the commitment to the bit, so here, Jack.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Thanks to April Faust. Hey, Roy, do you know when April Fool's is?
No, yes.
It's April Faust.
Okay.
But April's no fool. All right, she's this hardened street detective.
Right, so if you try and trick her on April 1st, you're getting booked.
You're getting shot in the head. You're getting dragged out back and shot in the head. Let me tell you that.
She asks for a Diet Coke, you give her a regular Coke, bang.
Shot.
No nonsense.
Just a short run today. Last but not leastly, let's give a shout out to Roland Hodgson.
Keep rolling, 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 rolling.
Oh!
Roland is a man who's never walked a day in his life. He rolls from town to town. He's insistent on it. He thought, like, maybe if I start from a young age, it'll catch on. The rolling generation. You know, he just like sits down and rolls like he's on fire.
That's crazy.
It's pretty bizarre.
It's kind of a dystopian Wall-E style universe.
He's a dirty person.
Walk anymore.
He is not hygienic. There's a lot of gum on the floor, it turns out. But hey, he's sticking with it. So fair play to you, Roland.
So thank you so much to Roland. And thank you to everyone we've shouted out today. We'll be back with more shout outs next Tuesday, where we will also be back for a brand new paranormal tale. We will see you then.
Bye bye, folks.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.